I've been asked to read from Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 26. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, Man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today.
Thank you so much, Kelly. What a wonderful reading, all the way from across the pond. It's as if we're just next door, but it's just wonderful, isn't it, that we are able to connect like this across the globe and celebrate, as we were encouraged by Mike this morning, celebrate our Savior and rejoice in his goodness and his faithfulness and feast on his word. It's been wonderful, hasn't it, to worship him. Amazing words in some of those hymns we sang. I just want to remind you of a few before we spend a few moments looking at the passage together. Oh, how sweet, we sang, to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Wow, they are powerful words. And we also sang, were you, this is us addressing the Lord here, were you to count my sinful ways, how could I come before your throne? Yet full forgiveness. Hear that, my friends. Listen to this. In Christ, full forgiveness meets our gaze. I stand redeemed by grace alone. Truly amazing grace. Wonderful. I don't know if you're aware that as you come to the Lord this morning, full forgiveness can meet your gaze. That's amazing grace. That is phenomenal mercy on a scale that we cannot accurately measure. This is off the charts, my friends, isn't it? We stand here, if we're his, recipients of amazing grace and phenomenal mercy. It was wonderful to hear Dave and Anne praying for so many dear people. And we pray, don't we, in the mighty name of Jesus, the one we trust. And we're looking to him for fresh supplies of grace for each precious soul who's going through it, who has need. We're looking to him for mercy to flow like rivers, floods of mercy. Oh, praise his name. And this passage, you may be having a slight sense of deja vu. If you remember last time I spoke, we read exactly the same passage, but we focused in on the first few verses and how Jesus dealt with the leper, who says, interestingly, about prayer, that prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness. I don't know if you remember that from last time, that wonderful thought that as we come to the Lord, we are to lay hold of his willingness. Beloved, Spurgeon says, there is nothing that so delights Jesus Christ as to save sinners. You misjudge him if you think he wants to be argued with and persuaded to have mercy. He gives mercy as freely as the sun pours forth light. Isn't that a wonderful thought? The willingness of God, and we focused on that last week with the leper. I just want us to look for a few moments as we go down the passage at the paralytic. Both characters represented impossibility. But I don't know if you've noticed, when impossibility encounters the Christ, he seems to deal with impossibility with phenomenal ease and grace and power. Is everyone okay with the sound, by the way? Just give us a quick thumb, because I had a little message to say some connectivity instability. So please do let me know if you stop hearing. I hope it's all right. So here we go with the paralytic. And in the few moments that we have together, I want us to couple those thoughts of God's willingness with the thoughts of his ability, his power. And I'm not sure if you're aware, I'm sure some of you are aware, but in the scriptures, there are a number of different senses to the meaning of the word power. And some of the main ones are, there's two kind of words in the original. One of them is to do with ability. I'm not going to get the pronunciation right, but it's something along dunamis. It's often where we think of the idea of dynamite, etc. And then there's another word, exousia, which has more of an emphasis on authority. So that sense of power in terms of authority. And it's wonderful. In this passage that we've read from verse 17 down, you have both words coming up. So in verse 17, it says, all the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting by. People had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea, Jerusalem. And then it says this phrase, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. What a phenomenal statement. And this word here is the dunamis word. It's the ability, the mighty strength of God in Christ, it says, was present to heal them. What a remarkable statement. And then we read, don't we, in that context, we read of what seems to be a huge barrier to someone who's in incredible need, urgent need, getting right up close to Jesus. And I was reminded as we were praying, as Dave and Anne were leading us in prayer of this, obviously it was in my heart. I was thinking how often we are bringing people in our hearts to the Lord, for them to get close, if you like, and for him to touch them, because the only one who can save is the Christ. as his people, I believe one of our primary purposes is to get people in touch with the Christ. We cannot save anyone. Jesus can save everyone who comes to him. And he does it, although it's impossible, he does it with consummate ease and skill and power. Glory to the Christ. We heard my dad preaching Christ last weekend. I was blown away all over again at the wonder and the beauty and the ability and the authority of the Christ. And we extol him, we exalt him, we proclaim his name and the wonder of who he is again this morning. As Mike encouraged us, we celebrate the Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And you'll notice these friends of the paralytic, even though they couldn't get anywhere near the Christ, they knew in their hearts, they had faith pulsating through them, that they had to get their friend in need to the one. And there were some logistical issues, weren't there? You know the story, I hope. And we're not going to go into all the detail for the sake of time, but it's just amazing that even though they couldn't get in the door, they were creative in their approach. They weren't going to take no for an answer. I always feel for the owner of this particular property. I don't know if he had the roof done recently, but if it was me, I'd be a little concerned about my tiling. I'll be honest with you. Bringing it up to date, we've had a couple of Velux windows put in. If someone started breaking those down to put someone into our house to get close to Jesus, I'd have a few little reactions, you know, natural ones, like, do you know how much they cost? But these friends were not put off by what seemed an insurmountable obstacle, and they found a way, because of faith working in their hearts, to break through with the purpose of getting close to Jesus. Have you got that in your heart, my friend, this morning? You know, even in the context of an environment where the power, the ability of the Lord is present to heal, it can seem somewhat counterintuitive when there appears to be huge obstacles in your way in order for you or a friend you're bringing to the Lord to get close to him. What do we do? Do we turn around with disappointment, think it never works? I'll never get through. Or do we, as encouraged by these friends, think creatively? Oh, praise God. Praise God for the faith to go up onto the roof and to break through from above to lower the friend down to the feet of Jesus. And this is the main point we're coming to. As they get to the Christ, as the friend comes down. I mean, just picture the scene. I know we're familiar with it, but I never tire of imagining how this went. Oh, Jesus mid-flow, no doubt. And suddenly this kind of stuff coming down from the ceiling and then, wow, what is going on? Hang on a minute. I've got a sermon to preach. Bless the Lord. He's not fazed by interruptions. Glory to his wonderful name. And he just moves with how it's going. You know, you can bring yourself or anyone else to the Lord any time of day or night, irrespective of what the seeming obstacles are. Glory to his name. He will embrace them with open arms. And look how he responds. He sees this happening and he recognizes, I love the way the Lord deals with people. He recognizes the faith that's operative. Praise the one. Praise the one who is able and mighty and willing to save. And when he sees their faith, he says to the man in great need, and this is somewhat surprising, he says, man, your sins. Oh, glory. He says, man, your sins, though they be as scarlet. in the name and power of the one who speaks to you this moment, they are white as snow. Immediately, in an instant, the one who has all authority, and we'll come to this in just a moment before we're done, the one who has all authority from the highest seat of authority declares forgiveness for a sinner. And you might be thinking, hang on a minute, that's a bit offensive. The poor guy is paralyzed on his bed. No, it's not offensive at all. The one who came from eternity for this man went to the very heart and root of the matter. He went right to the heart of darkness and rebuked the enemy and forgave this man's sin and set him straight for all eternity. Oh, praise him. Praise him. Well, the scribes and the Pharisees are sitting round having a right old mind melt, aren't they? Who, they mutter. Probably, I'm imagining it slipped out. It was all going on loud inside, but I imagine it kind of leaked out into the open air a little bit. Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And the reason why we know this was predominantly internal is because in verse 22 it says, when Jesus perceived their thoughts. Wow, that's powerful. Don't articulate it out loud. When Jesus perceived their thoughts, and I absolutely love this, he says, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say up and walk? Wow, he's thrown down the gauntlet. And then he says this, and this is the key point, my friends, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power, there's that word, exousia, authority, full jurisdiction, to declare the forgiveness of sins. He was making a definite connection with their angst and their anger at the fact that only God could forgive sins. He was actually declaring, I am the Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh here amongst you, so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And this is the moment. Dramatic pause, my friends. He turns and he says to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, ready? Arise, take up your bed and go home. I am just glad that the beds in those days weren't full-on power sprung mattresses with memory foam and drawers underneath and all that business. It was probably just a simple mat, but it represented this man's old life. And again, with consummate grace and power and mercy, the Christ just says to this man, arise, take it up, go home. Glory to God. The reason in this particular passage, and it's very explicit, the reason this miracle took place, obviously for the benefit of the man, that was a wonderful blessing bonus, if you like. But the reason in the grand scheme was that humanity should know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He is able to speak to the most lost soul and declare the righteous judgment of God in Christ. He is able to justify the sinner and remain just, because he gave his precious life, his life's blood, to forgive us from sin. Isn't this a great gospel, my friends? Isn't this the best news? And this wasn't for this dear man, and this isn't for you, so that you can go back and remake your bed and lie back down on it, memory foam or otherwise. No, it's not. It's the declaration of the forgiveness of sins from the Son of Man, who has all authority and power, is so that you should arise and live differently by his grace. Oh, glory, glory to his name. Now we're going to close because it's 5:30. Well, that went quick. Now, to him, let's pray, shall we? I'm going to read a scripture, but let's pray it. Now, to him, the Christ, who is able. He's got ability and mighty strength as well as authority. And can I just throw in there, hugely willing to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to, if we're his, the power that works in us. To him, to the Christ, be glory in the church by him to all generations forever and ever. And let me hear you. I know you're all on mute, but let me see your lips go at least. Amen. And amen. Glory to his wonderful name.